Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we are live here with Ringside Reporter, a special Friday show. And please excuse my voice, I'm fighting the cold. I've been fighting it all week, so hopefully it'll go away by Sunday. But for right now, man, we've got some big news. Three big rumors hit today. I mean, we were all kind of waiting for this first round of rumors to happen, because the thing is, with Triple G and DAZN, we kind of knew that was going to happen. We just didn't know when, and he has been sitting on it and sitting on it, and finally, apparently, the deal was finalized this morning about 1:30 a.m. according to Dan Raphael. Triple G signs a 3-year. 6-fight deal with DAZN. That is pretty big. That's a pretty major thing here. This is all according to ESPN and then multiple sources after that. Golovkin will fight twice a year per the deal, which also the deal also includes provisions for Triple G Promotions to promote 2 cards per year that Golovkin does not fight on in 2020 and 2021 as he seeks to develop his own stable of fighters. This is big news. Him going to, now his first fight is scheduled to be, I believe, in June.
Yeah, they said June.
Yes. So his first fight will be in June. Now, we don't know who it's going to be, where it's going to be, anything of that nature, but all we know is that the first fight will be in June. And then the speculation after that is he may fight Canelo. Now, I've heard a lot of different names be tossed around the Canelo camp. I mean, we've heard Sergey Kovalev, we've heard we've heard a lot of them, you know. I don't know that Canelo is really interested in fighting him again, but, you know, all that money might change his mind. I don't know. But well, Canelo's going to make that money no matter where he goes, no?
Yeah, I mean, if he does pass up the Golovkin fight and he chooses to fight Kovalev or Callum Smith next, I'm still going to be a happy camper. I would actually be more intrigued by those two fights as opposed to a third Golovkin fight. I mean, I love all three of the fights, don't get me wrong. But at least we'll get a fresh face. He'll be moving up and fighting a legitimate super middleweight champion, with all due respect to Rocky Fielding. And Sergey Kovalev arguably could be the man at light heavyweight again after that performance that he put on against Alito Alvarez. So this is a great deal for Golovkin, because it not only opens up one division, but it opens up two divisions. And as we've speculated and we've seen, he could be struggling to make 160 right now, because he's starting to look really sunken in and drained at these weigh-ins. And maybe the move to 168 is evident. And if that does happen, then, you know, there's a lot of super middleweights that he could fight on DAZN. You know, and Callum Smith being the number one guy up there, that would be a great fight for Gennady Golovkin. I would love to see that one.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, there's so many different fights for him there on DAZN. There's a lot of different options, and that's the thing. There's a lot of different options for both guys. You know,
yeah.
Canelo, being the money by nature of being the money man, has all the options. But this opens up a lot of doors for Triple G, too. And I think the nice thing about it is, if you're a fighter, it opens up your stable. You know, you can start to put together your promotion company and everything like that. And now have a platform. Not a small platform, either. A big platform. The zone is huge. So, I'm going to go out to a bunch of different people and a bunch of different people watching. And so, the zone, this is a pretty big deal. This is a very big deal.
Well, What I'm starting to like now with DAZN, not only with DAZN, but with the PBC too, is, you know, they're getting the fighters involved. So, like, PBC has a lot of the fighters doing commentary work, has them all on these shows. So they're setting them up basically for a life after boxing. And I think DAZN is going down that same route by allowing fighters to have their own promotional company promote shows on the platform. And I like what the PBC's doing with Manny Pacquiao as well, allowing him to showcase his fighters on their platform as well. So this is what I like about boxing. This is setting boxers up for life after boxing, as I said. But not only that, it's empowering the boxer. It's making him the brand. It's making him more than just the fighter, but the businessman, and they have a stake in the company now, basically. So if that's what they meant, Carpenter meant by Golovkin has a stake in the company, I think it was probably misrepresented or misworded. I don't believe he owns DAZN or owns shares in DAZN, but he has a financial stake now because he's putting on shows and he's affiliated with the company. Same thing with Manny Pacquiao with PBC. So I love the direction that boxing is going, and it's empowering the fighters. It's making them more than just a guy taking the punches. It's actually making him, you know, promoters, broadcasters, and what have you. So they're able to, you know, be a jack of all trades, more, you know, wear more than just one hat. So I like that. And I like to see, you know, boxers be set up and not just take the punches, but actually be part of a business and have some decision-making power and just be more than just a fighter. I like that.
I do too. And I think that is real important that nowhere in the story, at least nowhere that I saw, did this give him a cut of the company or ownership in DAZN or anything like that. I think that might have been some early reporting. I don't know. I mean, I don't know who reported that.
Carpenter did. He's always reporting stuff like that, jumping the gun.
Well, that's kind of what we heard last week, too. So
with his sources.
Yeah, so that might not have been on the up and up or whatever, but it just sounds like it. But it does. I don't care if you own stock in the company or not. It sounds like a great deal.
Yeah. There was no financial terms.
That's exactly where I was going. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was no financial terms disclosed. You got to think that it's a lot of money. How much money? Who knows? Who cares? You know what I mean? We know that he's getting a lot of money. He got enough money. It's kind of like the Tyson Fury thing, and we all kind of question the deal. But the thing is, listen. He got enough money to sign.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
I don't care what else he asked for. I don't care how much money it's for. I just like the fact that Dan Raphael basically was the responsible reporter, and he didn't know the numbers. He couldn't confirm the numbers, so he just reported what he knew. There was no speculation at all in that article, unlike Carpenter's article today, which we're going to get into later in the show.
which one? Oh my goodness. Yeah, so I'm happy for Triple G, man. I'm finally and I think he's at the right place. I think that's the other thing. He's at the right place now. He can finally, you know, but he's been off since September and he's been out of the limelight and been out of the, you know, this is a long time for him to be off.
Yeah.
And he's fighting in June, which, you know, is right around the corner, but it's still, I mean, he's going to be off for, what is this, by the time it's all said and done, 8 months? Is that right? 8 or 9 months? Is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
It's not too bad, but it's bad for him because he likes to be active. I mean, he's
horrible for him because he's older.
Yeah, he complains a lot about, like, how he needs to be active to stay sharp because as you said, he's getting older. And, you know, that's different with older fighters because, you know, they have the muscle memory, but the reflexes have dulled. So they have to, you know, be active to stay sharp with the reflexes because the reflexes are the first thing to go. And
I would agree. And he was the one just about a year ago said that he wants to fight 3 times a year.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen, I don't think.
No, not now.
And the beautiful thing about the zone, too, it seems as though, you know, they're willing to put up a lot of money for these fighters. You know, generally the promoter pays the fighter, but the zone, you know, Eddie Hearn is using the zone's money and all these other promoters are using the zone's money. So they're willing, like they really wanted that Jarrell Miller fight the zone. They wanted to showcase Anthony Joshua in the United States. And I think they had a big influence on, you know, Joshua fighting Miller instead of White because they wanted to have a big splash in the United States because they wanted to fight here so they could, you know, have a selling point to reach out to more subscribers in the United States. And they wanted to build this app up with subscribers and they wanted to use Anthony Joshua to do so. So that's why I think they were a major influence in this fight happening with Miller as opposed to Dillian White. Because I don't think the Dillian White fight would have made sense to have over here. And I think, you know, the United States fans need something that's going to be publicized and broadcast over here, where, you know, we're seeing that Miller and Joshua are being showcased all over American television, all these sports shows and stuff like that. I don't know if it would have worked doing the same thing with Joshua and White. I probably suspect it wouldn't. So we see what's going on with the zone. They're becoming more aggressive with their offers. I believe Gerald Miller got more money than White was offered. And a big reason for that, from what I've heard, is the zone kicked in some more bucks because, as I said, they really wanted this fight and they wanted to showcase fight for Joshua in the United States. So I think, you know, the zone is really becoming aggressive and they're looking to really make a splash in this American market. And these are some really big power moves that have taken place in such a short period of time when a lot of us were complaining about what's going on. So it's not really about Eddie Hearn, because everyone thought that all of this was on Eddie Hearn's shoulders, that all of this was Eddie Hearn's responsibility. But the zone is going outside of Eddie Hearn to make these deals with Golden Boy and with Golovkin. So it's not all about just Eddie Hearn. The zone isn't totally vested just in Eddie Hearn alone. They're looking to reach out to everybody. So this isn't like all these people that were Eddie Hearn haters that were shitting on this app. You have to understand that this is the zone. It's not Eddie Hearn's app. He's just a portion of it.
Isn't it funny how that like gets missed, where everybody talks about, when they talk about the zone, it's like synonymous with Eddie Hearn. And it's not the case.
No,
Eddie Hearn has nothing to do with the zone other than he's got some fights on there. It's not like he owns the zone.
No.
You know?
I
don't get it.
He owns the zone just as much as he owns Sky, which is not at all.
Right. Exactly. All right. So that's the news on Triple G. That was one of the things that came out today. The other one, pretty big news here. Ring Magazine reports, and it's being reported now by various sources as well, Deontay Wilder will meet with the Zone Executive Chairman John Skipper next week. And this is coming straight from Ring Magazine, not a tweet or anything like that. Industry sources, probably guess who this is.
That's our favorite writer over there.
That's right. Told Ring Magazine after Ludabella orchestrated the sit-down, Wilder and Skipper spoke over the phone earlier this week before the heavyweight title holder informed his advisors, Heyman and Shelley Finkel, about the opportunity to meet with Skipper. Bella declined comment when contacted by the ring. So, basically what this is saying, Deontay Wilder meeting with the Zone next week for some big money. Now, let me tell you why this is really important, because I think he's going to get it. And I think he's going to get a monster amount. I mean, a monster amount of money. ESPN apparently offered Wilder like some huge deal, and that's what I was reading today too. Apparently ESPN offered Wilder some huge deal, and Wilder turned it down, and now he's talking to the Zone. You know, listen, man, I have a feeling he's going to go to the Zone to make that Joshua fight happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is the biggest. Everybody talks about the Tyson Fury fight being the biggest. It's not. The Joshua Wilder fight is the biggest fight.
Well, I told you. That's why I told you. Tyson Fury shot himself in the foot.
Tyson Fury doesn't have a title. He has a linear title. That's it.
That's it.
You know. So, now, here's a question. Meet with the Zone next week. If he does meet with the Zone and decides to sign a deal with him, Brazil's out in the cold. Brazil, theoretically, could be out in the cold here. Yes?
Well, what I'm suspecting is they're going to go through with the Brazil fight. And then the deal will probably, this is just me speculating, he'll probably sign maybe a two-fight deal, three-fight deal max. I don't think he's going to lock himself in long-term. I think he'll possibly lock himself into two Joshua fights on the Zone. But, again, that's monster money. So the Zone, would suspect, wouldn't be afraid to do something like that, or would not be against doing something like that. So I think that they'll probably have this Brazil fight on either Showtime pay-per-view or possibly even Fox pay-per-view, because I heard him in an interview today saying that Fox pay-per-view may be an option as well, Deontay Wilder said. And then I think that the deal with the zone would probably take place and start after that. That's just my opinion. Again, I could be totally wrong here, but the Brazil fight has been ordered. And I believe that Steven Espinosa tweeted something out today about that fight being possibly on pay-per-view, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah. like I said, I think they'll allow him to get this mandatory out of the way, and then they'll take over from there. But I think after Joshua beats Miller, and that's a big if, but I think he should beat Miller, and I think after Wilder beats Brazil, I think we're going to see Joshua Wilder. And I think John Skipper is going to be the hero of the day here because he's going to be the Les Moonves of this negotiation, just like Les Moonves had to step in for Pacquiao Mayweather. John Skipper probably is going to have to step in, and he's going to do all the negotiating. And Eddie Hearn's going to be kind of left out of this. And I think that that's a smart move because I think that Deontay Wilder, on an interview I heard today, said he wants nothing to do with Eddie Hearn. And if the Joshua fight is going to be made, he said he's going to deal with everyone else but Eddie Hearn to get the fight made. Just like basically when Mayweather and Pacquiao were negotiating, Bob admittedly stepped away and let Todd handle everything because he didn't want to fuck the deal up because he knew, you know, how Mayweather disliked him or didn't maybe not dislike it personally, but just did not like doing business with him. So I think this is huge, and I think John Skipper, the way this whole thing is being played out right now, I think this is a brilliant move. John Skipper over at DAZN smells dollar signs, and he's making a power move that is going to be a win-win for everybody, and I'm looking forward to that. And I think this is going to happen. I really do.
I hope it happens. Now, here's what I think may happen if it does sign, purely, again, speculation on my part. If it is signed, I think the Brazil fight could go by the wayside. I really do.
Well, it's been ordered. It has been ordered. That's what
who I'm cares?
Saying.
I mean, who cares? WBC ordering the fight? That doesn't matter. WBC orders a lot of garbage. Anytime an organization, the sanctioning body, orders a fight, it means about as much as me saying, I'm going to see this fight.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see it. It's like me ordering the fight. It doesn't mean anything.
I wouldn't put it past them saying, oh, well, in the 11th hour, we got an exception filed.
That's how it goes.
We're going to make an exception for the exception, and you're going right. to file the exception.
Because you know.
You're right.
Now,
you're right.
Here's the loophole. Now, check this out. So here would be the loophole is Dillian White would be the loophole. So instead of fighting Brazil next, he would fight Dillian White next. I don't know. Just a thought. That would be a number one contender already signed up, already on the zone. It's already been on the zone, you know, everything like that. So there you go. I mean, it's a win-win. But does he have enough time? I mean, he's already, you know, like I said, I mean, it's already been ordered. I'm sure he's already training for him and everything like that. Who knows? But that's kind of the scenario that play out in my head, you know. So here's the other thing about the pay-per-view. So Deontay Wilder and Dominic Brazil were, you know, maybe scheduled. They're talking about they want to make that fight. It's not official yet. But they're talking about putting that fight possibly on pay-per-view. And I thought, there's no way they're putting this fight on pay-per-view. I mean, absolutely not. Showtime's not that stupid. Nobody's that stupid. Of course they're not going to put that fight on pay-per-view because it's not a marquee match. Apparently, they're looking to put it on pay-per-view. Apparently, it's not nonsense. Apparently, it is. Somebody tweeted out today and tagged Dan Raphael and said that he was the source on this, which, of course, Dan Raphael denies. And I couldn't find any evidence of it, so you know, he rightfully denied it. That the pay-per-view apparently was going to be $99. So $100 for the Brazil Wilder pay-per-view. It's crazy, right?
I don't know about that.
$100. I thought it was crazy, too. I thought it was crazy that it was on pay-per-view. Steven Espinosa countered the tweet and said, if the fight does land on pay-per-view, there's no way it'll be even near that amount. Okay? So they're actually talking about putting this thing on pay-per-view. I mean, that right there tells me that they're actually batting that idea around. You know? I was like, what are you doing? I mean, they are seriously entertaining the option of putting this fight on pay-per-view. that blows my mind.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a mistake to do that. But hey, maybe they want to give Wilder just a dry run to see if there's any residual effect off of that Fury fight. Because those, to me, I think those that 330 is pretty decent numbers for a first time out. I think those are solid numbers. So they want to see, actually, you know, what if he could do it with someone else. And again, we got to give him credit because he did it against a UK guy that most Americans do not know. So if they decide to put this on Showtime pay-per-view, or I'd love to see them try it out on Fox pay-per-view. Either way, if they could get some solid promotion behind it, I'm curious to see what it would do.
With him in Brazil?
Yeah. I'm serious.
Would you pay for it?
I have to.
Why do you have to?
Because I want to watch it. asking me if I'm going to pay for a pay-per-view.
I mean,
it's like asking Santa Claus, are you going to wear that red suit on Christmas?
I don't know, man. Like,
come on.
I don't know, man. They would have to have a stacked on the card for me. Somebody just hit hashtag theme stream. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a tough one for me to buy. And Brazil's not a big name.
Is Fury bigger than Brazil in the United States?
Yeah.
Probably, right?
100%, yeah.
And Fury did a good job selling that Wilder fight, though. We got to give him credit, too. Fury knows how to promote a fight. Really.
Fury is amazing. Fury is an amazing promoter. He is. I always say he's must-see TV because
yeah, I like Fury.
He's an amazing promoter.
I'm disappointed what he did, but I've been riding with Fury since 2014. I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but I probably keep sounding like a broken record. I got my UK. All you guys think Beef the Hater? Put the camera. Zoom cameraman with my fucking UK shirt. Zoom cameraman.
There it is.
Zoom it right here. My UK shirt. Beeb is not a fucking hater, man. Kyle Froch gave me this shirt, and I wear it proudly.
Full effect.
Getting sick of you people giving me stick in the chat. Giving me stick in the chat, baby. Right here. My UK shirt, right here. Give me stick. Kyle Froch gave me this. I got another one that Fury sent me, so don't tell me I'm a hater.
Kyle Froch sent it to you? Oh my God!
Guys, take a shot at the Beeb. I got a Teflon vest on underneath this Union Jack, Daddy. You can't stop me.
That's
how old is this shirt?
What is this shirt?
Yeah, Benji, take a shot. How old is this shirt? It's only 7 years old. Come on. I think I'm gonna throw my clothes out, baby.
That's right. Beeb's styling today.
This is a classy shirt. It's like a freaking collector's item.
Vintage. It's vintage.
I'm throwing this shirt out. Smash that motherfucking like button.
New Day, salute. Raphael Dawkins, salute. Ben G, salute. Corey Lee Boxing, salute. We're going to get to you in a minute. EM Serrano, salute. Low Blow Champ, salute. Tony Yayo in the chat, salute. Boxing Killers TV, salute.
Ben G, salute.
I actually enjoy doing that now. It's funny. I usually enjoy doing that now.
Smash that fucking like button. Smash it.
Yeah, that's right, guys. Hey, if you guys are out in the chat and everything like that and watching this online, make sure to hit the like button. Come on, man. We got a lot of people watching. We got zero. We got hardly any likes, man. Come on, man. Hit the like button, man. Come on. What's the matter with you guys?
We don't have a... Oh, I'm sorry, Tony Ayo. My fault. We don't want to do that. We don't want to swear in front of the youngins.
Yeah, I told you. That's why, hey, you don't ever hear me say that stuff, man. Hey,
smash that gosh darn like button.
Yeah.
Smash that gosh darn like button.
Fiddlesticks, hit that like button. You know what I mean?
Buddy, this guy wants to talk about Dillian White. What are we going to talk about Dillian White for? He doesn't have a deal.
No, and Raphael Dawkins just asked, is Dillian White going across the street for ESPN now? I don't believe so. I don't believe so. Especially if Wilder goes to the zone, now he's got no choice but to stay with Eddie Hearn. And I know it kills him, but he's really, I mean, what's he going to do? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Smash the doggone like button.
That's right, the cotton picking like button. There you go.
Can't say that. Can't say that.
What's that?
Can't say cotton picking. It's not politically correct.
What? Ah. What's the matter with you?
I'm sorry.
Ah.
You don't know. CNN may be watching. Think I want to get censored?
The rules. The rules. All right, let's go to the phones here. Corey. 804.
Corey! Yes.
Corey Lee.
Thank God, man. What's going on,
Steve,
y'all?
You calling
early?
Early?
Man, I'm calling
this is what
in early.
You calling early?
I got.
You gotta call in early, Daddy.
Yeah. Yes, man. I wanted to call in early, man. I had to get on the phone lines, man. Get to you guys early as possible, man. So you guys got a great show, man.
Did he just rock?
I definitely gotta say.
Dude,
when I'm here.
Kidding me.
So I
oh,
definitely
son.
Gotta say, can you hear me? Can you guys hear me? Hello?
Barely. Yes,
you can
you hear me?
Hear me, man. Golly. Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you a little bit. Go
All
ahead.
All right, thank you. Thank you. All right, look, I just wanted to say, for the fights coming up this weekend, man, you guys versus Sean Porter. Breaking news just now, Sean Porter has missed weight by 2 pounds.
0.8 pounds.
Okay. Huh?
Did he make the second weigh in?
I don't know yet.
Right now, all I
know
is that he's 2 pounds overweight and he's far from making weight. He's 2 pounds over at the weigh in. I'm not sure if he's
you can't be 2 pounds over the day of the weigh in. You can't be 2 pounds over the day of the weigh in. That's bad news.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I just feel like, you know, right now, I mean, this guy is just, I mean, a lot of people saying already, speculating that he's afraid to fight Errol Spence. That's why he missed the weigh-in. Let me ask you guys this. When he misses the weigh-in, does that mean he drops the belt? I mean, or is the belt vacant now? Does
Daniel
Garcia maybe come into the equation? Maybe the Granados versus... Danny Garcia,
Here it is.
I'm just saying. I've seen crazy things happen, baby.
No, what'll happen is either he'll make the weight or he'll forfeit his title. Now, he won't have a chance to retain it, but Ugas has a chance to win it. Okay? And if Ugas can't win it, then the title goes vacant. If he cannot make the weight.
But that's another thing. Eric.
It's all a non-issue. What's that?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, man, there's another thing, too. Like, you know, Sean Porter was very vocal in the stare-downs and the face-offs. You know, he's actually done more talking in the past, you know, week than I've seen him talk. I mean, it's like his dad is, you know, taking him off the leash, you know. And with that being said, you know, with him doing all of this talking, I mean, is it kind of biting him in the ass now? I mean, because he said Ugas has never faced anybody close to Sean Porter's level. You know, he hasn't done this, he hasn't done that. But at the end of the day, you're not even a professional. You're not even making weight, you know. What kind of champion are you? This is your fucking first title defense, and you can't make weight? Come on, man.
I agree.
Come on, man.
I don't know.
You gotta call.
He's never had problems with the weight.
You gotta call it out, man.
I agree. I don't like it. I think that it's a bad look. I think that the fact that he came, you know, and I'll tell you what, man. Steve, you can probably attest to this more than I can. He's gonna drop 1.8 pounds in 2 hours. That's not a cupcake deal.
No.
It's very calm. And he seemed very calm about it at the. At the weigh-ins, he said, oh, no, it's no problem. He said, I'll be back in an hour. Son, he ain't coming back in an hour, dropping 2 pounds.
Nah.
There ain't no way.
Oh, no. Nope.
There ain't no way.
And that's what kind of gets me. You know, you saying that you were in, you know, and that's another thing that I wanted to get on. Him and his dad actually weren't in. His dad was not training him for 4 weeks out of his camp. I know that for a fact. Okay, he was at the Headbangers Gym, okay, with Barry Hunter, and his dad was not present. Okay, so does this have an aftermath like type of effect? you know, with the whole Kenny Porter and Sean Porter duo? I mean, is this affecting him, being that he was training in the DMV out there in Baltimore, you know, and he wasn't, you know, at his, you know, quote-unquote high-altitude facility in the in California? You know, he trained out here for once. So he switched up his training camp, and now he's missing weight. Do you guys see the correlation?
Yeah, I do. In fact, you know, you look at that. I mean, Adrian Bonner's been known to miss weight. He's been at the Headbangers gym. I don't know if it's something to do with that gym, but I wouldn't put it squarely on that gym. I mean, you know, you just
But Eric, you gotta kind of put it on the, you gotta kind of put it on the gym and the training that he was doing, because I've never heard of Sean Porter missing weight when he was with Kenny Porter. Have you guys? Maybe I'm wrong. You know.
No, but who's responsible for his weight though? No,
From everything that I was reading, Eric, is I thought that Kenny Porter was you know, pretty much, you know, there, you know, to make sure he made weight and stuff like that. He was there. You know, he's his father, he's his trainer, he's his manager, he's all of these things in one. And yet, you know, the first title defense of his career, one of the biggest fights of his career, because let's be honest, you guys, if he does not win this fight, I mean, it will be going down as one of the biggest fights of his career, because there's so much on the, there's so much on the other end of this fight if he can beat you guys, man. I'm talking about career high paydays, baby. You know, and you're gonna fuck it up with missing weight. You know, you're gonna just throw all of that. You're gonna throw all of that in the ditch right now for not making weight. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna throw all of that, you know, in the toilet right now for not making weight. I mean, I just don't understand these guys. You know, they say they're focused. They say they're ready to, you know, to take out you guys and stuff like that. The whole time, you guys has been a consistent professional, and he's, you know, he's done nothing but, you know, he hasn't cursed at, you know, Sean Porter. He's been respectful, suit and tie at every weigh-in, I mean, at every press conference. And I told you guys from the get-go, man, I like you guys, man. I like everything that he's been doing. He's on, I believe he's on a 10 or 11 fight winning streak. The guy's looking pretty good. And there's another thing, too. You know, his trainer, Ugas's trainer, said out of all of the Cubans that he's trained, he said Ugas is the best professional setting. And I thought that was big. You know, because this guy has trained some of the most, you know, best amateurs, you know, that we have, you know, in the whole amateur career, in the whole amateur circuit. You know, he's trained, you know, the best of the best, man. You know, I can't remember his name. Is it Solis? What's his name, you guys?
I know who you're talking about. Who's it? What's his name? Solis?
He's a really, really good trainer, man. And he just did an interview, you know, about that. And you know, he really, really did. You know, he shocked me when he said that, because I really thought that, you know, you guys was a really good fighter. But I didn't know he was, you know, that good of a professional, man, because in the first couple of fights that he had in the professional rankings, you know, he didn't look that good. He lost, you know, a couple of his early fights, you know, if you guys remember that. You know, he's got three losses. Of course, you guys have never been stopped, but, you know, I just truly believe that, you know, that this guy is one of those fighters that that can be special, man. I think you guys can be special, man. And I just truly believe that, you know, if you guys can get it together and can do everything that he needs to do in this fight, that he can win this fight. I don't think that Sean Porter is not even, like, you know, like, I'm going to be honest. Sean Porter is the weakest champion at 147. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. The guy is the weakest champion, you know.
Thurman is.
No. In my personal opinion, Sean Porter is by far the weakest opponent, okay? Because Keith Thurman decisively beat Sean Porter, okay? Decisively.
No, he did not.
7-5,
yes,
come on.
He decisively beat him. I truly believe that.
Yeah, decisively,
you know?
Beat him 7-5.
But what I mean by decisively is I don't mean 8-4. You know, decisively can mean 7-5. Scanner, you got the phone. You know, what I mean by decisively, I mean, you know, I mean at 7-5, it can be decisively too. You know, he won seven strong rounds, you know, and I just, that's just my personal opinion. You know, some people can say, okay, well, it could have went either way. Of course, when you're in a 7-5 setting and you're scoring a 7-5, of course you can have some swing rounds. My personal opinion, not yours, but mine, Coily Boxing, I think that he won seven rounds convincingly. That's my personal opinion. That's why I think Sean Porter win over Danny Garcia was definitely iffy. Okay, if you want to talk about any iffy performance and any lackluster performance, it was that one, because that fight could have went either way, in my personal opinion. You know, so
you know what,
yes,
Corey? When you're looking at it that way, you're 100% right. He decisively won seven rounds.
Hey, I'm just saying, and that's all it takes, though.
No,
that's
I'm giving it to you, Daddy.
I'm giving it to you. Hey, but that's all it takes to win, man. And another thing, I know I'm switching subjects real quick, but I really, really want to talk about this before I get off. I know you guys got a lot of callers, and I called in first, man. I just want to say this. The Amir Mansour versus Efe Ogbah, I really, really like this fight this weekend, man. And I'm calling it right now. This fight right here is going to be on upset alert for Coily Boxing, okay? The last time I had an upset alert, you know, I feel like both cards are on upset alert. The Ugas fight is on upset alert, and Amir Mansour versus Efe Ogbah is on upset alert. Both fights are on upset alert. The reason why I'm saying that Amir Mansour versus Efe Ogbah is on upset alert is because Efe Ogbah said something very, very telling in an interview that he did, and I already knew this about Efe Ogbah. All Efe Ogbah has is the right hand. If he does not land that right hand, he's done for. And I'm just being honest. I've studied this guy. I believe he was on a Nigerian national team. He's a pretty good fighter, you know. Will I say that he has the tools to be a great fighter? I'm gonna say no. But you know, do I think that he can be a good fighter with the tools that he's dealt with? Yes, you know. But I think that Amir Mansour has enough to null and void, you know, Efe Ogbah's power. And Efe Ogbah also said in a recent interview that he said that I have to get enough space so I can throw my right hand. And it's like, dude, you're telling your whole game plan already. Like, you know, he's saying I cannot let Amir Mansour get close. Like, you're telling your whole game plan in this interview. I forgot what the interview that it was, but I was reading it. I believe it was yesterday I was reading it. And, I mean, he just pretty much showed his whole fucking game plan. I mean, you know, he's saying that he cannot let Amir Mansour, you know, get too close to him where he cannot throw his right hand. You know, I think that's a telltale sign.
Well, I don't think that's like giving away his game plan. I think that's like pretty common sense.
No, because you got a left hand.
I mean, he's a lot taller than Amir Mansour. Why would he let him inside?
So I've known tall fighters that have good inside games as well.
I know Riddick Bowe was a tall fighter that had a good inside game, but I mean, yeah, I mean, I think that's just common sense. I don't think he's really giving anything away there. It's not like I don't think it's anything like Amir Mansour's trainers went, oh my god,
What I took from it, Eric, was him pretty much revealing that he has his inside game is trash, and he's trying to you know, pick Amir Mansour apart from the outside with the right hand, you know. But I'm gonna be honest with you, man. If you're gonna be in a world champion level, you gotta have an inside game. Deontay Wilder has an inside game, you know. And man, now as much people as you know, they criticize Deontay Wilder, and I feel like, you know, Efe Ogbah, just his body type alone is a complete clone of Deontay Wilder. They're almost identical, you know. Obviously, Efe Ogbah weighs a little bit more heavier than Deontay Wilder is, but they're pretty much a spitting image of each other. They're pretty much a spitting image of each other. I think Deontay Wilder has a little bit more pop than he does, but, hey, man, a guy walked out of the ring on Efe Ogbah, so you can't say but so much. But, yeah, man, I think Amir Mansour does have enough tools to beat him, and I would really love to see Efe Ogbah win this fight, but I think Amir Mansour could possibly pull it out, man. But, you know, I don't know if you guys watched the Amir Mansour versus Hargrove fight. Hargrove, if I'm pronouncing it right. He fought a guy over there in Europe, I believe, and he got knocked out by him, man. And I did not like his body language in that fight. I finally watched that fight a couple days ago, and if he fights anywhere close to that fight, you know, then he'll probably, you know, probably lose. But, I mean, we're talking about he fought Dominic Brazil. I mean, he was so close to winning that fight. He got cut in the mouth and couldn't continue. He had, like, 18 stitches in his mouth. So I just truly believe, man, this guy, Amir Mansour, does pack the punch and does pack the tools enough to beat this guy, F.A. Jaiba. And I personally think his handlers just got it all wrong on this one, man. But that's just my personal opinion, you guys. You guys have an awesome night, man. And that's all I got to say, man. Have a great night, you guys.
All right, Corey. Thanks for calling. Good call, as usual. Remember to catch Corey on Corey Lee Boxing on YouTube. He's got shows on there and everything like that, so make sure to catch him. In regards to the Amir Mansour F.A. Jaiba fight, listen, man, I think his handlers, you know, I would venture to say they know what they're doing. I don't listen, a couple of years ago, Mansour may have posed a big threat to him. I don't think right now. I just don't. I mean, Amir Mansour is a name.
He's like 42 years old, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think he's just going to be slowed down by Father Time. I honestly do. I think the Dominic Brazil fight took a lot out of him. I mean, what was it? That was the Brazil fight where he got like a broken jaw and everything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Wasn't it?
Yeah,
he took a beating in there. I mean, he gave pretty good shots too. But yeah, this guy, and I think the other thing too is that and we smack in the chat just said it was 46. He's 46 years old. That's
wow.
Kind of old to be in there.
He's that
banging
old.
Around.
Wow, I didn't know that.
He also, went to prison and everything like that. That's got to take a toll on you. You know, it's a lot. You're asking a lot of a guy who's 46 years old to go out there and beat this guy, who is a powerhouse. And as far as him saying, Jaiba saying that, I need to keep him at range so he doesn't get inside on me so I can throw my right hand. That's common sense. I don't think that's giving away any details. It's not like we're going to look at this guy and say, oh, he's going to be a brilliant inside fighter. You know, that's not the case. He's got a long reach. He's got a big right hand. Of course he's going to keep you at bay. You know, he's going to work his jab and try to keep you at bay and then drop his right hand on you. That's his game plan. That's 90% of the heavyweight division's game plan. You know, they want to keep you, you want to be on the end of the punches. Am I wrong on this? I mean,
no, I think you're 100% correct. I think it's just basic knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he gave away anything or his trainers. I mean, it's not like Amir Mansour's people are going to run back to the drawing board and say, "Okay, let's restructure our game plan because he wants to keep you on the outside." They know what he wants to do.
But Corey is my brother. I don't want to disrespect him.
Well, how dare you? How dare you give him a pass? What's the matter with you, Corey? You don't want to disrespect Corey. Yeah, so, I like the fight. I like the fight when it was signed. I like the fight now. But, and I do think that Mansour has a shot. He's got a big punch. He's got a shot. But will he be able to? No. And would I bet on him? No. I sure wouldn't. I absolutely wouldn't. But I do want to see the fight, and I'm going to watch the fight. So, there's a possibility there. I like Mansour. I really do. And there's definitely a possibility there. I just, I don't know, man. I don't think that's going to happen like that. I think Jaiba is the up-and-comer, and you're going to be hard-pressed to find him. This early in his career, they're not going to put him in anybody that's going to be that dangerous. You know what I mean?
Well,
so
I
that's
agree.
My thoughts on that one. Yeah. But let's get back to this Porter Ugas situation, man. I tell you what, this is very interesting. I haven't seen it. I'm looking. Do me a favor. Look.
Yeah, I got to see if he what happened with the second weigh-in. I'll take a look.
Yeah, because 2 hours. And when did the weigh-in actually take place?
Probably, what's it, 6 o'clock now? So it's 3 o'clock. Probably not too long ago.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find anything.
All it says right now is 1 hour ago, Porter versus Ugas, Sean Porter, overweight, could lose WBC title. He had problems making weight before, too. So there was another fight where he had to strip down. Tim, maybe he had to take his pants off? Was that in the Garcia fight? Remember the Garcia fight? I think he had to take his pants down.
I don't know. I wasn't paying that much attention to him taking his pants off, dude.
I wasn't watching that, but I was just observing.
I was looking at the grown man taking his pants off.
I was looking at the towel.
You was looking at the towel?
I was looking at the towel, covering him. This is a family show, please.
Please.
So this story right here, this story is from 34 minutes ago. It says Sean Porter misses weight, has 2 hours to cut down for Saturday fight. Sean Porter blames fighters for hindering boxing. Oh, no, that's something else. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at Twitter right now. I can't find anything. He's got two. All I've seen is 2 hours to make the weight.
2 hours, and that was first reported. I think the weigh-in was an hour ago. I think he has one more hour.
Yeah.
Trying to make weight.
And he was real calm about it, too. He was real calm at the weigh-in. Said that, it'll be nothing, no big deal. You know, I can just go ahead and it won't be anything to make this weight. You know, I'll be back in an hour, and then we'll get it going. You know, I don't know, man. I don't know. That's not looking too promising, man. Do you think he makes weight? That, I mean, even if he makes weight, how much is that going to take out of him? That's not an easy cut.
Yeah, it's tough, man. 2 pounds when you're already drawn. This is what people say. Oh, it's only 2 pounds, but when you're already drawn out and sunken in. 2 pounds feels like 10. You know?
Raphael Dawkins says, what was the pattern on the towel bead?
that's a good one. That's a good one.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 832-B. This is Houston. Houston, Texas. 832, you're live.
What's good, fellas? What's up, Ringside Reporter? What's going on, man? Black Horseman.
Hey, what's happening?
How are you, buddy?
How you been, brother?
Been good, man. Been good, man. Shout out to Corey Lee Boxing. I heard him on the last call, man. Matter of fact, he the one that introduced me to y'all channel, man. Shout out to y'all.
Yeah. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
So what
you
got? What you think?
I heard y'all just recently talking about the Sean Porter situation, man. I'm just like, wow, you know. Heard that they, you know, gave him 2 hours to, you know, get that weight off. But that's tremendous, man. You know, he weighed in at 148. Most people come in weight at about 146 and a half, you know, 146. I mean, this man is a whole pound over. And we're not talking about ounces. We're talking about a whole pound. So I think it could be rough, man. It definitely could be rough.
1.8. Yeah, 1.8 pounds.
1.8 pounds.
That's a lot, man. That's a lot.
1.8 pounds, buddy.
Wow.
Yeah. Good, man.
Yeah, man. And, you know, I've been hearing
that's a that's a whole five piece with a biscuit, man. 2 pounds. That's what that is, man.
Yeah. That's a trip, man. I don't know if this dude, you know what I'm saying, just feel like he had to pack on too much muscle or something to try to get ready for Ugas because, you know, Ugas is not really the biggest puncher. But he's a very strong dude, and he always comes in tip-top shape. And maybe his game plan was to come in there and try to, you know, outwork and out-muscle Ugas. But maybe it kind of backfired on him a little bit.
You know, and one thing nobody's mentioning is that Ugas at the weigh-in looked in incredible shape. I mean, he was ripped to the nines. I mean, he looked ready to go. I mean, and Porter, like when I looked at him, when he got on the scale, he didn't look like, you know, I mean,
well,
you know, he didn't look great, put it that way.
Well, let me ask you this, both of you guys, this. There was rumblings about, you know, his father possibly leaving the camp. So I'm thinking maybe was there some type of drama going on in camp and that's what caused him to not really train properly or not make weight properly? Was his father at the weigh-in? Because I actually missed the weigh-in.
I don't know.
Did you see him? Did you see his father at the weigh-in? Did you watch
No, I saw Shane Mosley at the weigh-in. And I don't know what the deal is with those two.
Yeah.
I saw Shane Mosley at the weigh-in, but I did not see I didn't see Kenny Porter. But in all fairness, I really wasn't looking for him.
Oh, New Day says Kenny was
yeah,
there.
Just
okay.
Said he was there. Yeah, he was there. I would imagine that. Yeah, I would imagine that he would have been there. I mean, his son. So,
okay.
Oh, he was on stage. Okay, so that's clearly
nothing. But what do you guys think? Because there's a lot of rumors going on. Again, these were rumors that they were having problems in the camp. They weren't getting along. There was, rumors that Kenny maybe leaving the camp or whatever? Do you think that this affected the training at all? Do you think this affected him missing weight at all? What do you think, Black Horseman?
You know, I think that if that is the case, if his dad hasn't actually been very active in the training camp, it definitely, you know, that definitely could play a factor in him missing weight. It could definitely
Absolutely.
Play a factor. If he does make weight, it could play a factor in him, his performance tomorrow, you know, because, you know, I've seen, you know, fighters try to break away from their original trainer or their dad, and they don't look as good, you know. So I have been hearing rumors about that. But like I said, I don't really personally know the details, you know, deeper details on what's going on with that. But if that is the case, man, you know, that it's showing, you know. One thing about now, me personally, I'm not a huge fan of a father that tries to dominate the son who's really doing all the work and all of that stuff in the ring. But, I mean, you got to give Kenny credit, man. I mean, I have never heard of Sean missing weight until this fight right here. I mean, do y'all know anything about him missing weight in any
yeah.
previous fight?
Well, Beef apparently saw Sean, Sean Porter in a towel at a weigh-in and was paying a lot of attention to that. But I don't remember a situation where he missed weight. I don't.
No, he made the weight, but he had to strip down to make it. That's what I'm saying.
I wasn't peeping him out like that, so I wouldn't know. I mean, I don't
Please,
know.
Please, it's family show.
I'm not the one saying it.
It's rated G.
I didn't say anything, man.
Please, we're going to lose our sponsors.
Yeah, man.
Do you think... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. And I was going. I had something to say, but go ahead. I'll listen to you.
So, yeah. Well, they said Kenny Porter was like. There was rumors that Kenny Porter wasn't training him. I don't know though, man. I don't know what the problem was. Why, you know, and the rumors were there. Clearly, he was on stage. Clearly, he was there. So he's still got to be involved somewhat. Is he? I mean, is this a case of Sean Porter outgrowing the 147? Because I think a move to 154 would be bad for him.
I don't know what it is, man. I mean, it's just not a good look, man. This is your first title defense after winning the WBC belt, and it's not good, man. I mean, this is the worst way to lose your title on the scales, you know? I mean, this is part of being very disciplined. This is the biggest part of boxing, you know. You got to be able to get in shape, make weight, and then, you know, execute the game plan on fight night. But now he got this on his mind. You know, Jordan Ugas is in a good spot right now mentally. He's made weight. This guy is hungry. Looks like this guy, he keeps saying, and the new, so he got the confidence there. You know, I wish he could speak English, but, I mean, the translation, this guy has the mentality that, I've waited 9 years for this opportunity, and this guy, this new champion, he can't even make weight. So what is that extra pound and 1.8 going to do to Sean Porter, even if he gets that off? You know what I mean? That's a mental edge already for Jordanis Ugas. And, you know, a lot of people don't like to say this because a lot of people like to try to, you know, I know it's a family show, but they like to deride Errol Spence. But when it comes to the truth, this guy was avoided by Errol Spence. He was at the number two spot in the IBF, and Jordanis Ugas was right there calling him out. And everybody liked to parade and say that, oh, nobody wants to fight Errol. Nobody wants to fight Errol Spence. But Jordanis Ugas was the main guy calling him out at the number two spot, you know, in the IBF. And, you know, I just wish that they would have mandated it, but he had to go a different route. The WBC route, made himself a mandatory, and here he is. And it's been pretty much 50-50 from what I've been hearing. You know, a lot of people don't know that much about Ugas. You know, this guy he beat Terrence Crawford in the amateurs, you know. And so a lot of people don't just think that he's just some guy who don't speak English and who's going to just get washed by Sean Porter. But people got to really, you know, a lot of people that have done their homework realize that Sean Porter's in there for a real, real fight. A real fight. And I think that Ugas has everything it takes to become champion. The only knock is on him that I have is I don't really see a big punch with him. But at the same time, you know, when it comes to boxing, you don't necessarily have to knock somebody out. You just got to be the smarter guy in there and execute your game plan. And I think Yordanis Ugas has a great chance to beat Ugas. And if the dad, in which I have heard, you know, his dad hasn't really been in the training camp. He's been training with the other guy. I can't think of his name. But, you know, Sean is trying to do something different, you know, and maybe they got a little situation going on with his dad, and he's trying to become a man, you know, and push his dad out a little bit. But we're going to see how this affects him fight night tomorrow.
I agree. I think it's going to be interesting. I know if you're placing bets, man, you never bet on a fighter that's over. Never. That's just a cardinal rule. I just had Chakal from Tijuana text me a little bit ago saying he's putting money on Ugas now because Sean Porter came in overweight. That's a good move. Ugas, I mean, he really did look good at the weight. I mean, like I said, he looked ready to go.
Yeah.
And he was hyped up. His people were hyped up. Everybody was hyped up, man. So I don't know if I'd necessarily put money on it, but I wouldn't put money on Porter for sure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, man, and then, you know, it's a lot of breaking news all over the place, man, with this DAZN deal and everything like that, man. And, you know, it's a trip, you know, just to find out, you know, try to see what Deontay Wilder is possibly going to do, you know, and we got to see what's going to happen with that, man. But, you know, I'm like I said, I appreciate y'all taking the call, man. I'm just been listening in, so I said, let me just call in, man, and, you know, get my little input. But I like what y'all doing, man. Y'all got a great show going here, man.
Thank you so much, brother. Appreciate that.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much for calling in, man. We appreciate it. Good stuff. Good call, man.
Yeah.
Black Horseman. That's a cool name.
I like that.
I like that, too. Incidentally, Maurice Hooker weighed in at 140.5 pounds. What's his limit?
140.
Because Coppinger said he weighed 145 here. Hold on here. Maurice Hooker was approximately 5 pounds overweight 2 hours ago for his scheduled title defense.
What?
But I've got him weighing in at 40.5. So he's a half a pound over.
This
so I don't
Maurice,
know what.
This Coppinger guy, man, I got to call up Dougie and talk to him, man.
Let me see what it says here. But I know he is definitely overweight.
I like Maurice Hooker.
Yeah, he was 0.5 hour, not 5 pounds over. He
yeah,
was
that,
one,
that, not, that, not that's only half a biscuit right there, man.
Yeah, that you know, when you're half a pound over, that's doable.
That's nothing, man.
Yes, that's doable.
All you got to do is go to the bathroom.
No, it's not.
Take an X-Lax. Simple biology, Eric. Come on.
Yeah, all right. Keith Idaker saying, yeah, he has an hour. Maurice Hooker has an hour to lose a half a pound, so that's definitely doable. Maurice Hooker just went to the bathroom to get back to the scale. That's from Idaker. Wow.
Champ Life just said, he said, I don't believe Heyman will let Wilder go to the zone. Horrible decision. Keep home field advantage. Champ Life.
Any sense. That makes. Champ Life, that makes zero sense.
Champ Life, I'm gonna explain to you why I don't think it matters if he goes to DAZN, because I think DAZN, they're trying to get a lot of subscribers in the United States. So I think if Wilder does sign to DAZN, I think they will push very hard to have the fight in America. And that then I don't think Wilder will lose his home court advantage, because DAZN is looking for American subscribers. That's why they went with Joshua Miller in New York. So I don't think it's a bad decision to go with DAZN. And I think if he does go to DAZN, I don't think he's going to sign his life away. I think maybe he'll give him two fights, possibly three tops. But I don't think it's going to be a big multi-fight deal. I think it'll probably be two fights with the option for a third.
And he says, I don't believe Heyman will let him go. Look, dude, I mean, he's let Jamie Jenkins go. He's still an advisor. It doesn't mean he loses Heyman. This is the thing that you got to understand. It doesn't mean he loses Heyman as an advisor.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that he's, you know, he goes where the money is. That's
yeah.
all.
I
and
mean,
if they're going to pay him more at the zone, why wouldn't he go? He'd be a fool not to go.
I mean, you know, Heyman lets fighters go everywhere. He let John Molina fight Crawford on ESPN. So.
Keith Idick, Tony Yayo just said that Keith Idick said that Hooker weighed 140 and a quarter pounds, has another hour to lose weight. I thought he was only had an hour to lose weight. That's what he said.
Yeah, 2 hours. Well, he probably stepped back on after an hour because he thought he.
All right, now think about that. Think about just use that math for a minute, okay?
Yeah.
All right. He had if in 1 hour he lost a quarter of a pound. John Porter's got it. 2 hours to lose 1.8 pounds.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. And can you imagine how drained he's going to be if he makes that weight? If you're his camp, do you let him make the weight?
Porter?
Yeah.
That's a very, you know, Eric, it would be a hard call for me. I'd be torn because I wouldn't want him to lose his belt. Ah, Jesus. How did he look at the weigh-in, though? Did he look real drawn?
He didn't look great, put it
that way. Yeah.
And when I say he didn't look great, I mean, he didn't. You know, Sean Porter's usually, like, really chiseled.
Ugas
looked really, like, fit at the weigh-in.
Well, here's the thing. If he looked real flat, then that would tell me that he's already depleted because his glycogen and everything's gone. So... Mm-hmm. If he tried to lose 2 more pounds, it would definitely be like, you know, quality mass. You know, it wouldn't be water. So if I look at a guy and he's flat, that tells me that he's already dehydrated, and he's gonna be, you know, he's gonna be losing a lot of electrolytes, and he's gonna, you know, he's gonna be hurting his body. If I see him a little puffy, then I could say okay, maybe it's just water weight. But when you try to squeeze weight off of someone that's already dehydrated, that's dangerous. So that I'd have to look at his body. You know?
Maurice Hooker just came, this is from Keith Idick 7 minutes ago, just came to the scale and weighed 140 and a quarter pounds. Naked and raising his arms, he has tried 3 times but couldn't get any lower. Has another hour, according to the WBO, to make weight. He announced, I took a blank and he went to the bathroom, basically. I've tried everything. 6 minutes ago, he said that Maurice Hooker just went to the bathroom again. Hooker is still slightly, 3 minutes ago, Hooker is still slightly overweight, still has less than an hour to make 140 pounds.
Buddy, go jump in the sauna, do something. Do what Jake LaMotta did. Go in the sauna and put an ice cube in your mouth. Let's go old school here, Dad.
Oh, my God.
Put the rubber suit on, hit the treadmill.
Yeah, so I got to tell you, man, there ain't no way he's making that weight. There ain't no way Sean Porter's going to make that weight.
All you do is take his underwear off, put the towel on, like you did before. You can do it.
Well, you're all about that today, aren't you?
I love the towel, baby.
You're all about that towel today. Look at you, man.
On Sunday, I'm wearing a towel.
Listen, man, no, you're not.
I'm wearing a towel on Sunday.
You're not going on camera if you're not just wearing a towel. Sorry, that ain't working for me. Sorry.
Please, buddy.
That ain't working for me, my man.
Just show the pythons. Show them. Nice 27-inch pythons right here, baby.
Yeah, let me look for Porter real quick. Let me look another thing for Porter and see what we can figure out here, Sean Porter.
That's
yeah, still no update on him.
That's what I said, take a laxative.
Yeah, let me see the latest on Sean Porter.
Nacho said he can't believe the bulk of the fighters missed weight today. Hooker and Porter.
I know. I agree. I agree. Yeah.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah. You know what? And there's nothing on Sean Porter. There's no updates on it. So he ain't been back to that scale, son. He's got to have – I mean, I wonder if he – I mean, clearly he's got a scale on the back and it's like – that needle ain't moving 2 pounds, son. 1.8, that's a lot of weight, too. Coach Big C, Porter did miss weight. Does he get stripped? Well, that's up to him. If he can lose 1.8 pounds in 2 hours, he'll actually be able to hold on to the title. If he cannot, then what happens is he goes, then he gets stripped of the title. Ugas has a chance to win it tomorrow, but Porter has lost the title. If Porter wins the fight tomorrow, title gets vacant.
That's correct, yep.
Yeah. Now, typically for, and I know it's the case in Las Vegas, I imagine it's the case most other places too, that they allow it, there's a 1 pound allowance if it's a non-title fight. So if it's 147, they come in at 148, you're okay. Any other, you know, but during title fights, they have to be on the money.
That's correct. Coach Big C says, please, God, don't let Thurman get that belt back.
Yeah. Nacho just said that's perfect, too. Can't wait till Jason has to justify Wilder versus the Brazil on pay-per-view. I can't wait till Jason has to justify Wilder on the zone. I think that's going to be a lot of fun, too. So there you go. There you go. All right, guys, I think we're going to go ahead and sign off here. So let's go over to Triple G. Just to recap here, Triple G signs a 3-year, 6-fight deal with DAZN. His first fight is scheduled in June, according to ESPN. Wilder will meet with DAZN. This is according to Ring Magazine. Wilder will meet with DAZN next week to try to ice down a deal with them. Smart Money says he's probably going to take something over there. They're probably going to offer him enough money, and DAZN's going to recruit Wilder. How about DAZN? They've got Triple G now. They've got, you know, they could have Wilder. They've got Canelo. They've got the biggest names right now. PBG has the most names. DAZN seems to have the biggest names. So there you are. Wilder and Brazil could be on pay-per-view. Steven Espinosa kind of alluded to this on Twitter, saying that somebody kind of trolled him and said that the fight would be $99. Espinosa came back and said, no, there's no way. If the fight is on pay-per-view, there's no way it's $99. So he kind of gave it away that they're actually at least thinking about the idea of putting that fight on pay-per-view, which I think is an awful, awful idea. That's just me, though. This is what I think. So, all right, guys, make sure to tune in Sunday. Sunday, Steve Kim is going to be on the program. Steve Kim will be live with us on the program, so we'll be able to ask him questions and all that other good stuff. He's probably going to ask him to break down the Spence fight, the Spence Garcia fight, so that should be good. Trying to think of what else. Beeb, anything else? Anything else before we jump out of here?
No. No, not at all.
Awesome.
That was a good show.
Right. Yeah. And so make sure to smash that like button when you come in here, when you watch the show and everything like that. And make sure to catch us Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern. We got Steve Kim again. And ask Steve Kim what he thinks of Jason. I guarantee Steve Kim doesn't even know Jason exists. So there you go. He's much too busy at ESPN and everything like that. So there you are.
Coach Steve, sorry, man. You caught us right at the tail end here, brother.
Yeah, give it about 10 minutes. Give it about 10 minutes and you can go back and watch the show on live on YouTube. So there it is.
Smash that goddamn like button.
There you go. Alright guys, we will see you Sunday.
Ignacio Ortiz, salute. Coach Big C, salute.